Now we're holding in Yerushalmi page Yud Oistes. Piska, quoting from the Mishnah, Vavos Shalom Ben Onomachavero, you say that's one of the things that a person gets the dividends in this world, and the Kai and the Keren, you know, is left for Olam Haba. So where do we know that from? The Gemara says, Ksiv, because you have a pasuk that says Sur Meira. First of all, there's a pasuk that it talks about the importance of how of Vavos Shalom Ben Onomachavero. The pasuk says, Sur Meira Va'ase Tov, turn away from evil and do good, Bakesh Shalom, seek peace, Verod Fehu, and run after it. And the double expression means "bakshehu b'makoyimcha" means search for it in your place, "v'rot fehu b'makamacher," and then run after it in another place. So it can mean Hakosef says, for example, that let's say, for example, you're trying to make peace between them, and then they continue fighting, and it seems like Shalom is running away. You can't just give up. You have to go try to run after that Shalom, that elusive Shalom, and try to bring it. So Eitz Yosef says that the idea is that if you're able to, in your own place, in your own hometown or whatever, then try to make peace over there. And if you can't, then go to another place, for example, to try and find where your friends are, they're out of town, and humble yourself in front of them, and so on and so forth. And then also, for example, if you can't make peace in your city, then at least make an effort to make it in a different city. And Omer Tavyumi Nema Redifa Redifa. We have the word redifa, the word radfehu in this pasuk, and also in connection with tzedakah. So the Bavli brings the same drasha in Bava Basra, I think, to show how we know that Avos Shalom Ben Onomachavero is one of those things that are keren kaimus l'olam haba and so forth. Maradifa shenem la'alam covered by olam hazeh chayim l'olam haba. Just like when it comes to tzedakah, roidif tzedakah b'chesed yimsa chayim tzedakah b'chavod, and that means, in other words, that when a person does gmilas chasadim, so that's another one of the ones that the Mishnah mentioned, that he gets a perisayim l'olam hazeh. So just like over there, he gets covered in this world and chayim and life in the next world, because that's the pasuk says yimsa. The same way the redifa in connection with havas shalom is also covered by olam hazeh v'chayim olam haba. So that is where we learn the concept that those are both things that perisayim olam hazeh v'akeren kaimus olam haba. Aaron HaKohen was an example of rodef shalom. Sure. The Talmud Torah, and then we say Talmud Torah is keneged kulam. So keneged how much? Rebrechia v'Rebchia de Kfar Tchumen. So Rebrechia and Rebchia from Kfar Tchumen disagreed. Torah is a keneged kol of what? Chad Omer afilu kol olam kula in a shava afilu l'davar achmina Torah. One of them said that the entire world is not even worth one statement, one thing of the Torah. The Chad Omer, and the other one says not only just the Gashmiistic world. Afilu kol mitzvei sehal shal Torah. Even all the mitzvahs in the Torah don't come to the importance of one thing in the Torah. In other words, when we say keneged kulam, do we mean keneged everything that's in the world, or do we mean keneged even all the mitzvahs in the Torah? Because as you have the expression, Godol Talmud, Shat Talmud may be the day Maisa. Akosef points out it is true that a person learning Torah also has to be a Yorei Shamayim. If a person learns Torah and does Averus at the same time, then it doesn't have the same effect. So the Gemara continues. Reb Tanchum of Reb Yosi ben Zimra, Chad Oma Kahoda, V'Chad Oma Kahoda. Reb Tanchum and Reb Yosi ben Zimra had the same argument. They also they held these two respective opinions that one of them. That one of them said that Talmud Torah connected kula means connected the whole world, and the other one says that it means connected all the mitzvahs. Rab Abba avoid Rab Abba Bamori b'shem Rab Acha. Rab Abba, who was the father of Rab Abba Bamori, so if it's Rab Abba Bamori, then how is his father Rab Abba? Maybe it means that Rab Abba was his grandfather. I don't know. Anyway, he says b'shem Rab Acha. You have to look at two psukim. One pasuk says that all desirable things are not equal to the wisdom of Torah. Another one says all of your desirable things or all of your wants and desires are not equal to it. So what's it? Why does one pasuk say chafotzim and the other one chafotzecha? On the face of it, if they both mean gashmiistic possessions, then why the two different expressions? So no, chafotzim elu avonim tovus magdolius. When it says chafotzim, the desirable object, that means, for example, precious stones and pearls. Chafotzecha, and when it says chafotzecha, actually means elu divrei Torah. That means even words of Torah. As Hashem describes those are something that I desire, so those can be called chafotzecha in the sense that they're things that Hashem wants. And nevertheless, so now Hakosef points out, I mean, there seems to be something a little bit off in the girsa. If so, how are we calling them chafotzecha? So he says that if anything, maybe it's the other way around. Chafotzim means the mitzvahs, and then that fits with the opinion that Torah is worth even more than mitzvahs. And chafotzim would be the things that Hashem doesn't have any particular desire for, but a person does, such as precious stones and pearls. Eitz Yosef says something somewhat similarly as well. Anyway, so the point is, so we actually have a basis then for both of the opinions that we said before. When we said that Torah is worth more than all the desirable things in the world, and also even more than mitzvahs, so we actually have these two psukim reflect those two possibilities. So the Gemara tells, Artavon Sholach L'Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Artavon, that was his name, Eitz Yosef brings that he was a king of Persia. And he was very rich, and Rebbe was also very rich. So he figured he's going to send Rebbe a gift of a very expensive, priceless thing, and see what kind of gift could Rebbe give him in return that would be somewhat equal to it in value. Pnei Moshe on the Yerushalmi actually says it's possible that this Artavon was actually a Yid, and that gets into the question we're going to talk about, that Rebbe sent him a mezuzah. There was the interesting question of whether you're allowed to give a mezuzah to a goy. So anyway, first let's learn the story. Artavon Sholach L'Rabbeinu HaKadosh Chad Magoli Tova Ati Mitan. So Artavon sent Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Rebbe, he sent him a precious pearl that's of inestimable value. Ati Mitan, Timi means we had before in the Gemara at the end of Brachos, it meant value. A is a prefix, and is a Greek prefix that means not. You have it in some, and it comes up in some English words as well. So it means something that has no price. In other words, something that's priceless. Omale, and he says in Shlachli Milu the Tova Kabasa, you send me back something that's as good as it. So that's how important people do. They send each other important gifts. So you send me something that's parallel to what I sent you. Sholach Leichad Mezuzah. So Rebbe sends out of one of Mezuzah. So Artavon says, what's going on? Ma no shlachas loch. Look what I sent you. Mila de les latimi. Something that's of inestimable value. The at shlachas the mila de toba chad polar. You're sending me something that's worth one coin. A mezuzah is okay. Mezuzahs are not so cheap, but they're a lot cheaper than a priceless pearl. Omalei. So Rebbe answers him, like we just said, chafotzecha v'chafotzai lo yishvuba. Both of the things that you desire and the things that I desire are not even equal in value to one little bit of the Torah. So a mezuzah is almost like a miniature Torah because it has two parashiyos of Torah in it. So Eitz Yosef, following the possibility that this guy was a goy, Rebbe didn't want to send him a full sefer Torah, and also he wanted to point out to him the point about how a mezuzah guards you. So therefore, he dafka sent him a mezuzah, and this way it's almost like a miniature Torah. But he's saying the two parashiyos of Torah that are in there, nothing in the world can compare in value to those. So therefore, yes, and it comes out then that my present to you is actually the more valuable one. V'loy oy, not only that. You sent me a pearl that I have to guard. I sent you something which is just the opposite. You can be sleeping, and it protects you. As the Pasuk says, when you walk around, the Torah will lead you. And when you're sleeping, it'll guard you. You have, of course, said the famous story with Unkelos and the Roman guards, where he points them out the same idea that like Hashem is standing by our doors and guarding us. So what's the deal over here? So according to Eitz Yosef, that Artavon was a goy. Now you have like this in Shulchan Aruch. It brings from Likutei Maharil that it's not appropriate to give a mezuzah to a goy, or like if you're moving out of a house and a goy is going to be moving in, you shouldn't leave the mezuzahs over there. However, then he says if there's going to be a problem of Eva, then it's going to cause that the goy is going to feel anti-Semitic because of it, then you have a reason that you can give it to him. So according to that, then the Noisa Kalim, they're discussing Shulchan Aruch the possibility that what it is there's a Shilos Atrovas Be'er Sheva discusses this. He says if we say that this Artavon was a goy, then Rebbe may have figured by giving him a mezuzah that'll make him better disposed towards the Jews who live in his kingdom. He's doth the king of Persia, as Etz Yosef is saying over here. So therefore, Be'er Sheva says that's a valid reason to give him a mezuzah, because that'll make him, then when you explain to him the importance of the Torah, as Rebbe did, then that will make him treat the Jews in his kingdom who learn Torah better. So, yeah, you're giving, right. So, I mean, but the fact is, he's telling him that a mezuzah does also have the power of shmirah. Whether it has the power of shmirah for a goy, I don't know. But in any case, the point is that a mezuzah, in principle, the Rabbi Yaakov Emden also has a tshuva about this. He points out also that there's a difference whether the goy is likely to treat it with respect, which obviously Artavon is. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva on the subject. So all told, in other words, even though it says in Shulchan Aruch that you shouldn't, there are various exceptions, and this would have been one of the exceptions. With that said, again, Pnei Moshe on the Yerushalmi learns that Artavon was a yid, and in that case, there's no question. Of course, you can give him a mezuzah. The Gemara continues. Rav Mona Shama Kulhen Min Hodin Kaya. Rav Mona says, like this, the Gemara was previously discussing how we know each of these individual things and each one the Gemara brought a different pasuk for. Rav Mona says we can actually learn them all from one single pasuk. At the end of Hazinu, Moshe tells the people, Kilo Dover, the whole pasuk goes, Kilo Dover Reku Mikem. You should know the Torah is not empty words from you. There's meaning in every detail of Torah. Kihu Chayechem, because if the Torah is your life, Uvadovar is a Tarichu Yamam al Adam, and with these words, you'll live a long time in the land. That Hashem is giving you as an inheritance. So now, sort of Mona says, the phrases in that pasuk hint at all the things listed in this Mishnah. When it says kilo dover reku mikem, it's not an empty thing from you. That means zetam and Torah. That's referring to learning Torah. Every detail of Torah has tremendous meaning, and therefore, and the pasuk goes on to say that you'll have arichus yom for it. Kihu chayechem. The pasuk continues, for it is your life. Zu kibud avraim. That refers to kibud avraim, which is one of the mitzvahs that as we learned yesterday, the pasuk says on it that leman yarichum yamecha. When it says, with this matter, you will live long, that refers to Gemilas Chasadim. First of all, because again, we said before that Roedef Tzedakah V'Chesed, the Pasuk said, Yimtzach Chayim, he'll find life. And also because it can be called Chayim in the sense that Gemilas Chasadim is one of Hashem's midos, and Hashem is the ultimate source of life. So Vadova Zatarich Yom refers to that. Al Hadama, when it continues on the land, this is bringing peace between one person and another, and it brings about that now everybody lives peacefully in the land. So therefore, the Pasuk is putting them all together, implying therefore that they all have the same thing. They all have Odom Echopeta saying, Bodom Azeva, Keren Kerem, Salam Baba. And again, in morning davening, in Eilu Dvarim, we mention more things, but the Bavli and Shabbos explains that all of those are outgrowths of one or another of these things. Iyun Tfila, Rashi explains over there, is an outgrowth of Mos Chasadim. Ashkama Space of Midrash Shachas V'Avis is an outgrowth of Talmud Torah. Achnosas Orchim, Biku Cholim, Achnosas Kala, etc., is all from Gemilas Chasadim, and so on. And the Gemara continues, Uknegdan Abod Dvarim, then corresponding, the opposite numbers of these four are four Averis, Shein Nifroin, Mina Odom Ba'olam Azeh, Ba'keren Kaimus Le'olam Abba. There are four Averis, on the other hand, where a person where it's the opposite. The person gets the Paris for the bad in this world, he gets punished in this world, and the Keren, the full punishment, is still saved for Olam Abba. Ve'elohein, Averis Kechavim, Begila Arayus, Shvichas Damim, V'loshen Hara, Keneged Kulam. And Loshen Hara is equal in severity to all the three of those. So why should it be so severe? Etz Yosef brings because through Lashon Hara can cause all the other ones. It can bring a person to worship Avodah Zarah and do Gilui Arayis and do Shfichas Dam. As we have some of those examples later on. So, Avodas Kechavim Minayin, and where do we see that Avodah Zarah is like that, that a person gets punished for it in this world as well as in Olam Haba? Because the Pasuk says, Tikores HaNefesh Ahi Avoy Nava. The Pasuk says that soul, who, that person who worships Avodah Zarah, his neshama will be cut off, his Avera is in him. So it means the Nefesh is getting cut off and punished in Olam Haba, and it still has its full Avera with it. So even though he already got punished for it in this world, and no, oh, actually, that's what it is. He has Kores in this world. He dies young, and nevertheless, he still has the full Avoyna Ba to yet be punished in Olam Haba as well. Uchtiv, and you also have a pasuk regarding Avodah Zarah. Moshe says to Hashem after the Chet Egel, Ona Chota Amazech Hatog Dola, please Hashem, this people has done a tremendous sin, done a great sin, by Yasu Lahem of the Kezav, and they made for them a god of gold, which goes with the next thing, Gili Arayis Minayin, that how do we see that Gili Arayis is so severe that it's punished in both worlds? Yosef says to Potiphar's wife, Eich Esa Ro Hagdola Hazois V'chotosi Lelekim, so he calls it Haro Hagdola Hazois, so it goes together with Avodah Zarah, which is Chato Gdola, in other words, in effect, we make Zeta Shava between the Gdola by both of them. So just like we established that Avodah Zarah, a person is punished in both worlds, so it is with Gilead Arias as well. Shvichos Domim Minayin, because you know, when Cain kills Hevel, by Yom Cain Hashem, Godol Avoni Minisoi, he says to Hashem, my sin is too great to bear. In other words, too great to get to, that the punishment just can't be exclusively in one world, it has to be in both worlds. And again, he also uses the word Godol, like Hara Hagdol Azos. Now, Kshubal Eitz Lashon Hara Mahu Emer. Now, what happens when it comes to Lashon Hara? What's the expression that makes it parallel to all of those? Loi Godol V'loi Gdola V'loi Hagdola. Doesn't say Godol like it says by Cain killing Hevel. Not Gdola like it says by the Chet Egel. Not Hagdola like it says by Gilei Arayis. Ela Gdolois. It says Gdolois in the plural, which means that it's equal to more than one of them. The pasuk says, "Yachris Hashem kol sifsei halakos." Hashem will cut off all of the lips that speak smoothly lashon hara. Lashon min aberes gedolos, the tongues that speak big things, meaning big lashon hara. So Eitz Yosef refers to the Gemara, the Bavli and Erchin discuss it, brings this drasha also, and it says, okay, well, mirt rabim shnayim. So fine, say that lashon hara is equal to two out of the three. Where do you get it's equal to all three of them? And the answer is fine, but we just established that all three of them are equal. So it's not like you can exclude any one of them. Whichever one you tried to exclude, you would say, well, why are you excluding that one? You exclude a different one. So therefore, it winds up that we have to say that Lashon Hara is equal in severity to all three of them together. So now that brings the Gemara into further discussion about Lashon Hara. A lot of this is also in the Bavli and Erech. He did do tshuva, but we're saying that still he still got punished for it in this world, and apparently in Olam Haba as well. But also, I think the point is, I mean, the very fact that he says God lavoni minisoi, shows he did a certain degree of tshuva. So in other words, he's recognizing if he doesn't do tshuva, then it's going to be something. It's going to be godol. It's going to be too big to bear in Olam Haza and in Olam Haba. Fine, by doing tshuva, he mitigates it. So the Gemara continues, Rabbi Yassi b'shem Rabbi Yochanan, Zeshu omer Lashon Hara, eino omer ad shu kofer b'ikr. When a person says Lashon Hara, he doesn't say it unless he's denying Hashem's existence. In other words, if he realized that the Eibishter runs the world, he wouldn't be speaking Lashon Hara. Well, my time, or what pasuk? That's right. Well, my timer. So what pasuk expresses that idea? The pasuk, asher omeru l'shenenu nagbir. This is right after the pasuk that we just quoted, Yachris Hashem kol sifsei halakos in Kapitel Yud Beis. It continues, Asher Omru, these are the people that say, L'shenenu nagbir, we're going to become stronger with our tongues, we're going to speak Lashon Hara, and that way strengthen ourselves against our enemies. Sfaseinu itonu, we have our lips with us, in other words, we have the power of our lips. Mi odoim lanu, who is the master over us? So in other words, they're denying that the Eibishter is their master. And if they realize that, then they would, if they realize the Eibishter is watching and listening, then they wouldn't speak Lashon Hara. So that goes with what we just said, that Lashon Hara is equivalent in severity to Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayis, and Shvichos Damim. So yeah, Eitz Yosef points out, we see it also brings to Shvichos Damim. We have the example the Gemara brings here and an Erchin about the idea that Lashon Hara kills three people. You have the example with Doeg and his Lashon Hara against David, where the whole Novir HaKodim was wiped out. And as far as Gilead Arayis also, you have, again, the example with the Lashon Hara in David's times, which caused Shaul to take his daughter Michal away from David and instead give her in marriage to Palti ben Laish, which was a matter of Gilead Arayis. In the end, the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us Palti knew to be Machmir on himself and not to even touch her. But nevertheless, if he hadn't been that conscientious, then there would have been Gilead Arayis over here. So the fact that there wasn't a credit to Shaul, and then the Baalei Lashon Hara over there, it was a credit to Palti. Anyway, it continues the Gemara. Kol ha'averus adam choyte ba'aretz, all other averus, a person sins, he's doing something here on earth. So of course the avera is an avera against Hashem, but the actual goof of the avera itself, Eitz Yosef explains, is not in Shemayim. The elu choyten b'shemayim ba'aretz, but a Baalei Lashon Hara is affecting things in heaven and in earth. My timer, what pasuk expresses that? Shatu b'shamayim pihem, they place their tongues in heaven, u'lashonim tihalach ba'aretz, and their tongues are going around on the earth. So this is talking about Baalei Lashon Hara, and saying, in other words, that their Lashon Hara affects things in shamayim and in aretz. Partly because of the idea, again, because they're koifa be'ikr, as we just said, and therefore that affects things in shamayim as well. Amr Rabbi Yitzchak, and Rabbi Yitzchak says, you have another pasuk that expresses how severe Lashon Hara is. The pasuk says, Binu nazos sheikhe leka, pay attention, think about this, you who forget Hashem, pen etroi fe'en mat. So otherwise Hashem says, I might swallow you up, I might eat you up, ve'en matzah, and nobody will save you. So in other words, and Eitz Yosef says the previous pasuk before that is picha, two pesukim before picha shalachta bara, talking about a rasha, your tongue you're sending out to do evil. So also talking about Baalei Lashon Hara, and Hashem is warning them, pen etra, if I may devour you, but in matzav, nobody's going to be able to save you, so you better shape up. Amr Rabbi Shurban Levi, so in this connection, Rabbi Shurban Levi says, look at some of the other psukim in that capital. The pasuk continues, Teisha v'achicha t'daber, you're sitting and talking against your brother, b'ven imcha titan doifi, and in your mother's brother, you're attributing wrong things. Doifi is like false or wrong things. Maxiv Taman, and what does the pasuk continue? What does the pasuk say? Shortly before that, the La Rosha Omer Lekim Malachol Asapra Chukai. Hashem says to the Rosha, why are you even bothering to tell over my chukim? Batisa Brisi Aleficha, and you're carrying my covenant of Torah on your lips. So in other words, Hashem is saying, if you're going to be a Baal Lashon Hara, then why are you even bothering to learn and to teach Torah? One example of that being Doeg with his Lashon Hara, Where once he was doing that, then the Ebishter is telling him, who needs your Torah if you're going to be like that? So the Gemara says, as Hara l'Lashon Hara minayin, where is the actual warning in the Torah? If we have such severe consequences for it, there has to be some place where the Torah warns not to speak Lashon Hara. Where is it? The pasuk says, v'nishmar to mikol davar ra. The pasuk says, you should guard yourself from every bad thing. And the word davar also means a word. So you should guard yourself from every bad word, meaning from speaking a bad word against a fellow Yid. Toni Omar Rebbe, then we learn in a braisa that Rebbe says, Loi Toni Rabbi Shmuel, didn't Rabbi Shmuel teach differently? There's a different way we see the Azhara against Lashon Hara. The pasuk says, Loi Selech Rochel Ba'amecha, don't go as a peddler among your people, Zu Rechilus for Lashon Hara. So this refers to Rechilus, which is where you go over to Reuven and say, do you know what Shimon's been saying about you? That's Rechilus, but Lashon Hara. So it's all included in Loi Selech Rochel Ba'amecha. And Toni Rabbi Nechemia teaches a braisa that it means shaloi tehei karoi chalazeh, don't be like a peddler, mat in dvarav shalzelazeh, where you're hitching up, you're loading yourself up with words from one person, lazeh, and taking them to another, or dvarav shalzelazeh, and you're going around and retailing stories about one person to the other. Eitz Yosef points out that we say every day in the Sheish Sfiris, we say, Zohar es asher asal Hashem lekech lemiriam. But maybe you could say that's not an actual mitzvah. Maybe it's just an Eitz HaTorah. You want to avoid Saras, then remember what happened to Miriam and don't make the same mistake as her. Or maybe it's a mitzvah saseh. Well, not necessarily. Is it a mitzvah lois saseh?
Very hard to figure out what Lashon Hara is.
That is why. I mean, you have the entire Sefer Chofetz Chaim is about the ins and outs of that. It has denim just like everything else, and just like everything else in Torah, there are details. There are times when a certain degree is allowed. The tayelis. There's all kinds of details that the Gemara itself is going to bring an example soon, where a certain case where you're allowed to say lashon hara on bali machlokas, as the Gemara is going to say soon. One interesting thing worth pointing out in that connection, actually, the Chafetz Chaim mentions in his Akdama over there. He says you have some people that figured for themselves, well, you know what, Lashon Hara is such a severe thing. The Chafetz Chaim lists over there 31 different mitzvahs, I think 17 essays and 14 lois essays, or maybe the other way around, whatever, that have to do with Lashon Hara. So a person is apt to think, okay, so I won't talk at all, and then for sure I won't have a problem. He says that's also atasa yetzer. Then, you know, a person's never going to be able to stick with that. So then they're just going to wind up worse off than they were before. They tell about the people who knew the Chafetz Chaim back in the day say that actually he was a great conversationalist. He just knew how to have great conversations, very fascinating conversation, but without any trace of lashon hara. The Gemara continues. Amar Rav Chanina, boi ra'e kama kosher hu avak lashon hara. Come see how bad even avak lashon hara, which is only like the dust, like only a vestige of avodah zarah is. Of lashon hara. And the Gemara is going to give examples soon of what avak lashon hara is. Shedibru aksuvim divrei badai. We see that in the psukim say something that's untrue. Bishvil lahatol shalom ben Avraham l'Sara, in order to make peace between Avraham and Sarah, that. The pasuk says, "Vatitzchak Sarah b'kir b'lemer." When the malachim came saying Sarah is going to have a baby, she laughed inside, saying, "Achri boisi hoisili Edna. How could it be after I'm worn out? I'm going to have youthfulness again." Vadoni zoken, and my master Avram Avinu was old. Well, Avram ain't Omer came, but then when Hashem speaks to Avram, he doesn't say that. Elo, he says, "Lomazet zochak Sarah b'lemer ha'af umnam eled va'ani zokanti." How could I give birth? I'm old. And so, in other words, it would have been avak lashon hara. It's not. The fact is, Avraham is old, and he knew that, So he knew that Sarah knows that. But still, to say to him that Sarah called him old would be a shtick of lashon hara, and therefore to avoid that, so vadoni zaken and ksiv kana lavani zakanti. So, in order to avoid even that avak lashon hara, that Avraham shouldn't have the slightest thing against Sarah for calling him old, even though objectively he was, then therefore the Eibush to change the wording. Amr of Shimon Gamliel, here's another example. Boyure Kamahu Kosha Avak Lashon Hara. Come see how bad Avak Lashon Hara is. Here's another example. Shadibra Aksumim, Dibre Habai. Again, the Psukim tell us something that's not true. Kedelahato Shalom, Ben Yosef Laechav, in order to make Shalom between Yosef and his brothers. Hadohu Dichtiv, you have at the end of Parshas Vayichi, Vaitzavu El Yosef Lamer. They commanded someone to go tell Yosef as follows: Avicha Tziva Lifnei Moshe Lamer. Your father commanded before he passed away, saying, Kosoimun LeYosef, this is what you should tell Yosef: On Asana Pesha Achach Lamer. Please now forgive whether the terrible thing that your brothers did to you. In fact, we don't find anywhere that Yaakov ever gave such instructions. So it's not just, in other words, that the brothers themselves did that, that they themselves are afraid, but that the Pesuk actually records that they did that, even though it's not true, showing, in other words, that's a valid thing to do. Eitz Yosef says, though, it may actually be, maybe it's not, that doesn't show really the power of Avak Lashon Hara. It's maybe more, it shows the power of making shalom. That to make shalom, you're allowed to bend the truth. And this is an example of that, where in order to make shalom between themselves and Yosef, they bent the truth and the Torah records it. The Gemara continues, Reb Shmuel bar Nachman b'shem Reb Yonas and Omer, Mutar loyma lashon hara al balei machloikas. You are allowed to say lashon hara about people who are creating machloikas. My timer, where do we see that in the pasuk? So you have the story at the beginning of Malachim, at the beginning of Sefer Malachim, it's the Haftorah of Parashas Chayesara, where Adoniyahu is trying to seize the kingship for himself because David is old and weak. And Nosan Anavi comes and tells Bathsheba about it. And he tells her, you go to David and remind him that he said that your son Shlomo is going to be king. And then he says, V'ani ovei acharayich. He says, I will come after you, umilesi estvarayich, and I will fill in your words. So why does he have to say acharayich? So it means, in other words, that he's saying everything that you're saying of lashon hara about them, you may tell it briefly. I'm going to give more detail and add to everything. So therefore, he's actually going to be coming and backing up what she's saying and adding more to it, even details that are not completely true. So it's Yosef who brings from Yafei Mara. An example of that is he's saying that when Bathsheba gives the report, she says the fact that Adoniyahu took people over there to Evan Azechelas, and they're shechting animals and making a whole party over there. But Nosan Anavi adds a detail that they also said Yichi HaMelech Adoniyahu. Now, we never find in the Pesukim before that they actually said that. So this is Nosan Anavi adding a shtick of Lashon Hara in order that David should be upset at Adoniyahu and take immediate action against these Baalei Machlokas. And so we see that you're allowed to do that. This would be an example of this kind of Lashon Hara L'Toyelis that the Chofetz Chaim talks about. But again, to make David, to galvanize David into action, because like this, David is likely like this. Without that, David might say, okay, you know, listen, I'm old, I'm weak, let Adoniyahu do whatever he wants. But like this, when Bathsheba is giving him a report and Nosson is backing it up and adding more details, that's going to rouse him to action, as in fact it did. So therefore, so you're allowed to do that in order to damp down the machlokes. So that would be an example of Lashon Hara L'Toyelis. But again, you have a lot of details and a lot of dinim about it in Chofetz Chaim and in other svarim that need to be carefully studied. The Gemara continues. Bo'un kumei Rabbi Yochanan. They asked in front of Rabbi Yochanan. Now, many times in the Yerushalmi, when you have an expression bo'un, it doesn't mean they asked as in we need an answer. It means more like they presented the following thing. They presented it in the form of a question and an answer, but in fact, it's not like they asked the question and they're waiting for Rabbi Yochanan to answer, but rather they're saying like a rhetorical question and giving the answer. So, Ezehu Lashon Hara, what is the definition of Lashon Hara? Ha'omrei v'hayoyd. Someone who says the Lashon Hara and someone who knows it. In other words, someone who doesn't say it b'feirush, but a person who like hints it is also an example of Lashon Hara. It's possible to say Lashon Hara without saying anything verbally or not saying something b'feirush verbally, but like hinting at it. That would be another example of the Avak Lashon Hara we were talking about before. For example, Chanvosa de Kitanoi. For example, you have an example. There was a store where they were selling flax. Or I mean that in general, all the storekeepers have sold flax. Havalon Soimus. They had to have a gathering, which means that we had yesterday in the story of the guy who made his father work at millstones. We had a similar expression that osis somis the tchunaya somis or soimus as it has you have it in the Gemara means like an order from the king that they have to gather together and do work on behalf of the king, on behalf of the royal palace. So they had such a gathering where they're being pressed into the king's service. There was one particular flax seller whose name was Bar Chovitz, Veloy Solak, and he didn't come to join the group. So he's slacking off. Amri, so they said between themselves, one guy decided to use like a hidden form of Lashon Hara in order to remind people that this Bar Chovitz didn't make it, and that way they would go and fetch it. Amri, so they were saying, Ma'anon Ochlin Yoimadein, what are we going to eat today? Omachad Chovitzin, and one of them says, let's have Chovitzin for lunch. So Chovitzin is the Aramaic word for cheese, but it's also similar to this guy's name, Bar Chovitz. So that reminded everybody, Omer, so that reminded everybody, and I guess reminded also the king's governor who was putting them under the work over there. He says, oh, Chovitz, yeah, Yaisi Bar Chovitz. You know what? Speaking of Chovitzin, this Bar Chovitz needs to come also and do his work. This is an example of somebody who said Lashon Hara in secret. He didn't openly say Bar Chovitz is not here, but he gave a hint in such a way that now this sire, that now this minister said we have to schlep him in also. So that's a form of Lashon Hara as well. Then an example, Bovotin Tziporin, the nobleman, or actually Eitz Yosef translates it, Chachmei Eitza Shal Tzipori, the counselors, the council members of Tzipori, Havalohin Soimus, they also had this kind of gathering that the king wants them to do work on his behalf. Vahavataman Chad de Miskiri Yochanan, Velay Solak, there was one of them who was named Yochanan and he didn't come to join. So one of them tries to say Lashon Hara in like a hidden way. He says to the other, Les anan salkin mevakra l'Rabbi Yochanan yom hadin. Shouldn't we be going and visiting Rabbi Yochanan today? and Amrin, and they said Yesi Yochanan, and again Yochanan, you know, that jogs their memory. Yochanan's not here. We need to schlep him in as well. Amrin of Shimon Lakish Zeumah Loshen Hara B'Tzedek. This is an example of Loshen Hara with justice. Now, what does that mean? Hakosef says what it means is that actually is a valid thing to say, because they're mentioning an important mitzvah, which is to go visit Rabbi Yochanan, who was sick at the time. So therefore, that's a valid thing for them to say, even though there comes out as a result of it, there comes out indirectly Lashon Hara about this other Yochanan. But nevertheless, at least you could say that there were better intentions in mind. On the other hand, Korban Adon, Yerushalmi, has the Girsa Betzina, that it's also like the other one, it's also Lashon Hara Betzina, it's also a concealed form of Lashon Hara, and therefore it's not the right thing to have done. And then there's another explanation. One of the Mefarshim on Yerushalmi says that what it means is also that it means like he's pretending as though he's saying something good, but really he's doing it for Lashon Hara purposes, which is not, which he shouldn't have done. The Gemara continues, Amr of Abba Bakahana, Dorei Shel David Kulan Tzadikim Hayu. In David HaMelech's times, the people were all tzadikim. But so therefore, so you would think that they should be all winning their wars and there should never be any casualties. Val Yedei Shehoye Behen Dilatorin, but because there were Balei Lashon Hara in David's times, Dilator is a Latin word that means Latin or Greek or whatever word, Latin, I think, that means a Balei Lashon Hara. Officially, it means like somebody who accuses, like a moiser, somebody who accuses somebody to the government. Anyway, because of that, they would go out to wars, and therefore people would end up falling in battle. Eitz Yosef points out it's the Lashon Hara is the original thing that the Nachash did. And the Nachash brought, because of the Chet Eitz Hadas, the result was there had to be the revolving sword over there by the entrance of Gan Eden. La tacher of Mesapechas. So therefore, you wind up that people end up falling by the sword because of it. V'hoyu Neuflin, so they used to fall in battle. Eitz Yosef actually points out that we're not so much talking about the wars in David's times. The wars in David's times, they won all of them. What we mean is primarily the wars in Shaul's times. So it's in David's times in the sense that David is alive, but they're saying Lashon Hara mostly about him, and therefore many times Shaul ended up losing his wars. But it can also mean, another possibility is it could mean even in David's wars, the fact is there were casualties in a lot of his wars, the most famous being Uriah, but there were others as well. Anyway, who should David Omer? This is David HaMelech himself speaks about this. He says, "Nafshi b'seich levoyim eshkiva. My soul is lying down among the lions. Loy hatim b'nei adam, among the fiery people." So what does that mean? Nafshi b'seich levoyim. When he first compares them to lions, ze Avner va'amasa shoy levoyim b'torah. That refers to Avner and Amasa, who were lions, who were powerful people in learning and teaching Torah. And still they were saying Lashon Hara about Dub. You have the example that we learned about before. For example, when we learned at the end of the Bavli Brachas about the story with David cutting off the corner of Shaul's garment, which the Gemara said that he hadn't done right. He's mevaza clothing with that. Anyway, the point was to show Shaul, look how close I was and I didn't harm you. So realize that I'm not a danger to you. But Avner and Amasa convinced Shaul, you probably had ripped off on a thorn and David just found it and took it and now he's claiming. So therefore they were saying Lashon Hara against David. But still, they're levoyim at least. They're lions of powerful in Torah. And when David continues, Eshkava loy hatim, when he says, I'm lying among those who are flaming, Zedoyeg v'achetoyfel shoy lohutim achra Lashon Hara. That refers to Doyeg and Achetoyfel, who had a flaming taiva for Lashon Hara. So Avner and Amasa, at least, okay, you know, maybe they thought that what they're doing is right. Doyeg and Achetoyfel knew full well that what they're doing is Lashon Hara, and still they went and did it. And when the pasuk continues, that same pasuk continues, "Bnei Adam shineihem chanmis v'chitzim." I'm also among people whose teeth are like spears and arrows. Elu bali Keilah. That refers to the people of the city of Keilah. So in Shmuel, it describes over there, at one point when David is on the run from Shaul, at one point he hears that the Plishtim have been harassing the people of Keilah and stealing from their granaries. So he goes with his men over there to drive off the Plishtim. Then Shaul hears that David is in Keilah, and he figures, I have a good opportunity to capture him over there, and David ends up having to ask the Urim V'Tumim, are the people of Keilah going to hand me over to Shaul? And Hashem says yes, the Urim V'Tumim answers him yes, and therefore David gets out of there as fast as possible. So the implication is, in other words, that the people of Keilah, how did Shaul find out that David is there? Because the people of Keilah told him. So as the pasuk says, David asks the Urim Tumim, Hayaskiruni Bali Keila Biyodai, are the people of Keila going, the masters, meaning the important Balabatim of Keila, of Keila, are they going to hand me over to Shaul? Hayerid Shaul, is Shaul himself going to come down here in person? So he's comparing them to spears and to arrows. One point is why Daft comparing them to spears and arrows. One of the explanations in one of the Mefarshim on the Yerushalmi is that David himself was saying was not certain whether they're going to hand him over. That's why he's asking the Urim Tumim in the same sense. As for example, when you throw a spear or you shoot an arrow, you don't know if it's going to hit its mark or not, but you're in danger that it might. And the same way, David is in a potential danger over here. Then when he continues, he continues in this pasuk in Kapitel Nun Zayin, their tongue is like a sharp sword. Elu has zifim. That refers specifically to the people of Ziph. Where also you have that David at one point was hiding out in the area of Ziph twice, actually, and twice the people of Ziph came and informed Shaul that David is in the area and he should come and capture David. Shenema, Bavoya Zifim, Bayem Rul Shaul, Begomeras, in fact, the Kapitel Nun Dalet is all about that. When they came and told Shaul and David Davin Tfila against them, and it actually happened twice that they tried to do that. Eitz Yosef, by the way, points out that with Keila, you could say there's a certain thing to exonerate them. I mean, after all, Shaul was gathering his army to come there, so maybe they didn't actually tell him, but still, the fact that they knew that David is not Chayav Misa, so why would they be planning to hand David over in order to save their own skins? That shows there's something wrong with them. So even if they weren't the actual Balei Lashon Hara who informed Shaul that David is in Keila, still the fact that they're even thinking of handing him over is itself a mark against them. Right, because he came there to help them, right? So it's also being very ungrateful. But even if not, it's also a matter they knew good and well he's not Chayiv Misa, and therefore they have no business thinking that they should hand him over. So Ba'osa Shah Amar David. So David said at that time, when you have all these Balei Lashon Hara around, he says, "Ribon Ha'olamim, Mashchinasa Leirid Ba'aretz. Why is your Shechina going to even come down to earth? Salak Shechinasa Leminayim. Take away your Shechina and elevate it from among them. It doesn't deserve to be here on earth among such people. Thus you have in that same Kapitel Nun Zayin, Ruma Al Hashemayim Alakim. He says, elevate yourself above the heavens, Hashem. Al Kol Ha'aretz Kvedecha. That your covered is on the whole earth, but instead it shouldn't be taken and bring it back to Shemayim if there's going to be people like that. So that was in David's times. Abel Dorish al Achav Oved Avod Ezbechavim Hayu. By contrast, look at the time of Achav. The people were worshipping Avod Ezara. V'al Yidei Shaloi Hayu Lahan Dilatoria. But because they did not have Balei Lashon Hara among them, Hayu Yodin L'mochom of a Noitzkin, they would go to battle and they would be successful and they would defeat their enemies. How do we know there were no Balei Lashon Hara? We find that Evadiah says to Eliyahu, when Eliyahu tells him, go tell Achav I want to see him at the end of the three-year famine over there. So Evadiah says, Halai Huga, you want me to put my life in danger? What if you disappear? He says, Halai Huga Ladoni Esa Sherasisi. Wasn't there told to my master, to you, what I did by Rugi Zevelus Neviah Hashem Begoma, when Ezevel was killing the Neviim? So he says, I hid 100 of them in caves, and I supplied them with bread and water. So you have to ask, why does he mention both? Im lechem loma mayim v'imayim loma lechem. Why does he have to mention both? If he's giving them food, of course he must be giving them drink as well. Why does he have to mention that he's giving them both? Elam lamed choyam mayim koshen lo lahavi yosim and alechem. You see that it was more difficult to get water than bread, because after all, there's a famine going, there's a drought going on, there's no talamutter as we learned the other day, for 3 years. So therefore, water was very hard to come by. And to give enough water for 100 Nevi'im, for 100 people, there had to be a certain piercing to it. And yet we see that nobody told on Evadia to Achav and to Ezebel that he's going and supplying Nevi'im in secret, showing that there weren't Balei Lashon Hara among them. And another example we see, Eliyo Machris Barosh HaKarmel. Eliyo is standing over there on the top of Har HaKarmel a little later in the story, and he announces, Anino Sauti Novi Lashem, I'm the only Novi left of Hashem in public. And everybody hears him saying that. And nobody went and told the royal palace, hey, Eliyahu is still around, go get him. One of the Mefarshim on Yerushalmi points out it was mainly Ezebel who was killing the Nevi'im, as it says earlier. Ezebel apparently didn't know about the whole gathering on Har HaKarmel. Achav did because of the Yahweh tells him, gather everybody to Har HaKarmel. But Yizebel apparently didn't know about it until afterwards when she's informed what happened and how Eliyahu had killed all of her false Nevi'im. And then she got angry and she says to Eliyahu, you're still around. You better get out of town or I'm going to kill you. But in other words, up until then, he can stand on Har HaKarmel and announce that I'm a Nabi Hashem and rely on that nobody is going to go and tell Yizebel that he's around because there were no Baalei Lashon Hara. That's the point. Okay. Yom Yom Mashiach Ha'Geula, Lamed Shvat, Rosh Chodesh, first day of Rosh Chodesh. The purpose of going down into Golos and being scattered among the nations is for us to refine out the sparks of Kedusha that are scattered throughout all parts of the world. So when a Yid comes to a place where there are such sparks and does his avodah, so first of all, he's elevating and refining out those sparks. Also, that place where those sparks of Kedusha is, which ultimately is the whole world, becomes turned into Kedusha. That's what Chazal mean when they say that Asida Eretz Yisrael should dispatch the Chol Arotz. Eretz Yisrael will spread out throughout all the lands because after the Avodah of Golos is finished, when the whole world has been conquered and transformed into Kedusha, then the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael will spread out throughout all the lands. Continuing of halachas of what comes first and what comes second in Birkas Hananin. So we talked about yesterday, if you have different, and then the day before, we talked about if you have different foods in front of you and one is more choviv, or one is from Shiva Saminim, or one is whole, etc., or ha'etz before ha'adama, what if they're both from Shiva Saminim? What if they're all from Shiva Saminim and they're all choviv? Then you go according to the order in the pasuk. Now, you don't go strictly according to the order because you have twice in the pasuk where it says eretz, and the second eretz breaks things up. So therefore, so you wind up, in other words, so you go chita, then zayis, then sa'ora, then fig, then dates, because dates are second from the second aretz, and then goes the rest, gefen te'en avirim. That would be specifically grapes, though. When it comes to wine being a dava chosher that has a bracha of its own, then it comes before all peiros, even if the Alter Rebbe says, even if you prefer olives to wine, nevertheless, wine or grape juice will come first because it has the chashivas of having a bracha of its own.